The gospel is taken from Luke 4, 21 through 30.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue of Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We'll now sing hymn number 655, Son of God, Eternal Savior. No, we won't. We'll be hearing a sermon. So you got ahead of myself.
That's okay.
Okay. For those who watch television, you are probably familiar with the term reality show. Current television seems to be dominated by these so-called reality shows. These reality shows are most likely the topic of discussion around the proverbial water coolers and coffee shops of the nation. But the talk is not so much about people winning as it is about people being rejected. There's a kind of perverse joy in seeing people rejected one by one until there is only one person left. Survivor is probably most widely known. On Survivor, the rejection comes in the form of a tribe voting you usually off the island. Other shows mean the rejection is because of what you don't have, the good looks or the physique or brains or occupation. And interestingly, at the beginning, everyone is portrayed on being on equal ground. Sorry. Praised, in fact, just for making it on the show. It's amazing how fast we can go from praising to rejection with a vengeance. We got rejection with a vengeance in today's gospel reading. The people of Jesus' hometown of Nazareth reject him. Not only do they reject him, but they discredit him. And then, in bitterness, seek to destroy him. Sounds familiar. Interestingly, prior to this rejection by his hometown people, Jesus was in fact praised by everyone who had ever heard him teach. On this particular Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue and before the Jewish audience, read from the scroll of Isaiah. Then he sat down and all spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his mouth. They anticipated that he would perform in Nazareth the miracles that he had earlier performed in Capernaum. But a murmur of dissension began to slip through the synagogue gathering. "Is this not Joseph's son?" Perhaps they thought. "Hold on a second. Isn't the Messiah supposed to be a regal figure? How could the son of a carpenter be the Messiah? There's something wrong with this picture." Jesus sensed that their attitude was changing. "Doubtless," he said, "you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,'" implying that the people expected Jesus to prove himself before they believed. Jesus continues, "And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum,'" implying that the people were skeptical in matters of true faith and desired only to see miracles for their entertainment value. Then the clincher. when Jesus reminded them that a prophet is never welcome in his hometown. The people began to take offense to these words. Rejection was imminent. Jesus suggests that perhaps these people might entirely miss the blessings of our great God. You can easily imagine what they said. How dare this carpenter's son tell us that God chooses Gentiles? Who gave him the authority to instruct and even to insult us? They knew the examples he used were true, but that didn't make them any less offensive. The Nazareth rejection is compounded by the fact that the people were at first inclined to hear Jesus favorably. But then something in them made them want to reject Jesus. The people of Nazareth recognized his wisdom, his power, his godliness, but it was a challenge to their way of living. And that is precisely why they rejected him, because it was not their way of living. Sometimes the truth hurts. And with this hurt comes rejection of the one bearing the truth. The people became so hurt, in fact, that they dragged Jesus outside the city, intending to throw him off a cliff. The rejection was complete. But Jesus would escape to preach yet another day. Sound familiar? This was but a taste of what was to come in a ministry that would appear to end in rejection, crucified upon a wooden cross. Like the people in Jesus' hometown, we do not want to hear that the law of God still holds, and that there are entirely predictable consequences to our actions and our choices. We do not want to hear that story filled with familiar implications and pronouncements that we'd much rather forget. We're tired of hearing, free the captives of bondage, heal those who are broken and wounded by the world, extend dignity and equality, equity and justice to the oppressed, denounce prejudice, racism, sexism, and the cultural and religious intolerances. Let the special interest groups of the world take care of themselves. Or you might complain, the church preaches one thing, but when I leave church and go out into the world, it's a different place. After all, in a week, I spend 1 hour in church and 167 hours outside of it. So who's going to have the most impact on my life? We want to hear something that will provide a neat solution to all the world's problems without us having to change our comfortable behavior one single iota, which is very small. I'm not sure how ready we are for a challenge to our lifestyles. Often the challenge involves a revelation that begins with new insight into ourselves. And that challenging is usually a painful, painful process. After all, the people of Nazareth managed pretty well at first with Jesus' opening words. It was only when he began to reveal to the people the false reality that they were living that then they became upset, very upset. God's truth is only as good as our ability to receive it. On Sunday morning, the truth is revealed to all, but not all receive it. Some will listen with open minds to hear the truth within, while others might be distracted by personal worries or might even be offended at what they hear. Whether we hear prophecy as good news is not determined by the prophet. It is determined by the state of our ears and our hearts. We can learn from the people of Capernaum. They were not impeded by the hometown images of Jesus. They did not lay the insight and power of his words alongside the discrediting measuring stick. Is this not Joseph's son? They listened to Jesus with open, unprejudiced ears and hearts and were filled with awe. They accepted Jesus' words and person in their own right, and they saw authority. Unlike the people of Nazareth, who found it necessary to discredit him and then in bitterness seek to destroy him, we have a choice. we have a choice. We can be like the people of Nazareth and like them find it necessary to discredit and reject Jesus and then in bitterness seek to destroy him. Or we can be like the people of Capernaum and listen to Jesus with open, unprejudiced ears and hearts and accept him and be filled with awe. May God give us the courage and strength to persevere in word and deed, even in the face of opposition and rejection. Amen.